Before we hop into today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. Get yourself out of the weeds. Operations, multiple systems, all just to deliver your product or service, are probably just cutting into your margin, not to mention your time. Plus, with expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing rising, everything costs more these days. So you can reduce your costs and headaches by just graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. You can reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. Cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems. Go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. NetSuite is a proven way to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. And to me, that's a pretty smart move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI. Hey, we have an amazing event coming up, the Expert Advantage Workshop Series, where every day for a week, starting on Monday, May 20th, it's myself and another expert coming on to present to you about various kinds of things to help you with your brand and your business. Our brand new experts in residence and pro are going to be there to co-host these workshops with me, and you're not going to want to miss it. You'll have a chance to ask all of them questions, and it's completely free to join. All you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. On Monday, May 20th, Amy Nelson's going to come on, and we're going to talk social media, but specifically how to drive revenue and connect with important stakeholders that matter to you in your business using social media. The next day, we have Nosheen Chen, and she's going to lead a presentation about how to become a better communicator, how to increase those skills faster, because that's going to help you not just connect with new people, new clients, but also get your idea across better. Ton of takeaways in that presentation. And all you have to do to sign up and join and get all the links that you need is smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Again, one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Join us on our Expert Advantage Workshop Series. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 72. This is the Small Passive Podcast in a theater.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, whose nickname in college was Flat Pin, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Pat Flynn, and welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, session number 72. First of all, I just want to say thank you because you're awesome. And secondly, I'm just so excited about today's guest. She is amazing. Her business is in one of the most competitive and popular markets out there, but she's able to serve this market so well by really carving her way into a very particular space within this market. You know, she's found a very unique way to enter this market. And I think you're going to find that her and her story are very interesting, very educational, and very, very inspirational too. But before we get to the interview, I want to take a moment just to tell you, just please stick around to the end of this episode. I have a special announcement about something that I've been working on for a very, very long time. I want to take a moment here at the end to just talk about it really quick. And, you know, of course, I don't want to take away from our guest, who is the most important part of the show right now. I'm really happy to welcome Andrea Olson to the show to talk about how she's made an impact in the parenting niche. Now, she's not a mom blogger. She's doing some really, really interesting stuff to serve parents and really change their lives in a very unique way. So let's welcome Andrea Olson to the SPI podcast. Andrea, what's up? How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show. For everyone out there who doesn't know who you are and what you do, why don't you tell us what is it that you do and how'd you get there?
Well, I teach parents, new parents of babies who are between 0 and 18 months, how to potty their babies. In other words, avoid potty training and avoid poopy diapers and avoid all the fun stuff to do with our usual way of doing things, and with something called elimination communication. And I run a site called godiaperfree.com that teaches people how to do this if they're not interested in doing full-time diapering.
0 to 18 months. Like you can, quote, potty train an infant.
Yes, they're actually born communicating very loudly that they don't want to go to the bathroom on you, in their pants, in this tight diaper, on their bed. And usually we can't figure it out until we try, oh, is he hungry? Is he cold? Oh, his diaper's wet. Well, back up a few minutes and he was actually just trying to tell you, get this thing off of me. So it's based on that. It's a little bit more complex than that, but the gist of it is that cultures around the world don't use diapers, and this is the reason they don't have to. Well, they don't have them, but babies are also much smarter than we think they are.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that I know for sure. And it's just amazing sort of the implications behind something like this. I mean, not only are you helping parents, and, you know, I know that diapers are a huge issue. And I have a 9-month-old and she's still in diapers, of course. And so I'm very interested in this. But I'm also interested in what this can do for, you know, you say other countries don't use diapers. I mean, imagine if everybody got into this, you know, how much this would help the environment, or, you know, just all that stuff.
Yeah, it goes really far. And there's a lot of different reasons parents do it. But one of the biggest ones for people is the landfill. Every year in the United States, I think there's 27 billion diapers landfilled, and they're full of, you know what, and then they never have biodegraded yet. So the last 50 years, none of them have ever biodegraded. So it's the third largest landfill stream, waste stream, but there's also lots of other reasons that parents do it. It's a really cool practice.
So how did you get into this? How did you discover this, and why did you create a business out of it?
Well, years and years ago, I heard about somebody who wasn't using diapers and was pottying their baby. And I thought, oh my God, that's so weird. But I lived in California, so I was like, I'm going to do that mm-hmm. when I have a baby. And when I was pregnant, I started to do some research. And when I had my son, I caught his first number two in the potty, sort of by accident. And I was hooked because I've never been into changing diapers. So I had to start from reading a book. It was really complicated and really hard to understand, like reading text, especially any woman who listens to your show has ever given birth. You're very foggy right after and you're very overwhelmed. So then a couple months later, I was in mommy yoga and everybody's asking me, why do you keep leaving the room? And I said, oh, I'm pottying my baby. And they said, well, how do you do that? I want to do that. And so I was going to make a pamphlet, just like a 5-pager. And I'm an overachiever, so it turned into a almost 200-page book and all these other things that I made to make it a visual multimedia learning experience, because that's what I would have liked to have had.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, I find that's very common about how some people start their businesses. They sort of are sharing something that other people are interested in about what they do and sort of how they live their life. And so they create a resource to help not only their friends, but little do they know they're helping. They could possibly help the entire world. And so, how's business going right now? What's it like right now?
Business is going great. I just held my first International Awareness Week around it because people think, well, it was in the New York Times and all over the place. I was actually on Huffington Post. I couldn't believe it.
Wow! Congrats.
All this press. Thank you. They didn't even interview me. They just mentioned me. And people around the world don't really know. They think that you're just pottying your baby in the street in between cars. So it has a really, everybody's like, oh my God, that's disgusting. So part of what I'm doing right now is increasing awareness, and that's actually driving more people who are in that like 5-10% of parents who actually want to try this. I'm trying to make it a little more accessible. Business is going really well. My first full year of selling my book was last year, and I don't know if you want to share me to share how much I sold last year.
Sure. I mean, we're all about transparency here, so the more you can share, the better.
A little over $45,000.
Wow.
And this is, I've got over 2,000 readers internationally, so it's not a huge amount of people, but I sell it as a package, so it's between $30 and $40 a pop. And that was just my first full year. My conversion rate was about between 2.5% to 3.5%, which I've heard is really good. Mm-hmm. And mostly, though, I'm getting the people who are kind of interested to very interested. So a lot of my clientele is warm. And it just keeps growing. Word of mouth, parenting community is very much, oh my God, I tried this, you have to try it. And Facebook, Pinterest, all that's been really helpful.
Wow, this is great. Okay, so the book that you were selling for $30 to $40, that's the multimedia sort of 200-page pamphlet you created.
Yes, and I just was advised, one of the people I consult with is Naomi at ItiBiz, and she advised me to take everything out of the lower priced and package everything with the higher priced version. So I have the book only now, and then the book package that has everything, an audiobook, a private video library, a forum where I answer questions once a week, and a library of downloads. So it's all supplemental information for people. So they pay $7 more and they get all of that. I hardly have anybody buying the lower priced one now. So now I'm actually making more per sale. So this year should be better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great piece of advice. I mean, just, you know, sort of taking that little piece out, your book, and selling the book only at a specific price, that sort of sets the sort of base price. And then they can see how much more they can get for only $7. I mean, people would be crazy not to get that.
They would be. And then I offer an upgrade later on, a couple days or weeks later. I have my virtual assistant in the Philippines, and she writes people and says, hey, do you want to upgrade? I notice you got the book only, because there's a small handful of people who do get the cheaper one. Mm-hmm. And then they have to pay a little extra to get it. So I finally, it's taken me literally 2 years to get my pricing right. I started out way lower like you did with your lead exam. Mm-hmm. And then ended up at a spot where people see it as really valuable, and it's like less than a month's worth of diapers. So if you put it in context, it's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's another great tip, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And the way that you're presenting it, you know, is reflective of the industry that you're in. You know, how many diapers can you save? How much money can you save from spending diapers on, you know, just spending something like this, which could potentially save you a lot more down the road. A lot of people in internet marketing compare, you know, for like monthly membership type things, they say, oh, for, you know, a cup of coffee a day, you can do this, you know, and that's really smart. But I think you're taking it a step further and applying it directly to what it is that you're talking about. So that's really cool. What were some of the big challenges you had when you started out? So you had this pamphlet, you created it for like your friends, and, you know, they enjoyed it. What were sort of your first moves to put it online, and what did you find the most challenging?
Well, the most challenging was being a first-time mom of a 5-month-old. I started writing my book when he was 5 months old. Finding the time, I actually had to make myself spend 3 hours a day at minimum writing, mm-hmm. and outlining. And I actually used your eBooks the Smart Way, as an example.
Awesome.
As a template. Yeah, because I knew we had different markets, and I knew you always say just to use whatever of yours we want. So I did. And that helped me a little bit, because it gave me something to put it all in. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, so time was a big deal. I was breastfeeding. So from 5 to 12 months old, I wrote my book for 7 months. And my son would be brought into me every hour or two during the writing process. So it's very, very challenging. I think that what helped, I never actually put out the pamphlet. So I started collecting names, and I put up a website with just a newsletter collection form, mm-hmm. to sort of get people who were interested to come. But the biggest thing that I did while I was writing is I started to help people on private listservs. Yahoo groups were very big a couple years ago. Now Facebook has taken over, but I just started giving free advice and putting a link to my website below everything I posted. So I started to get to know my community a little bit better and started giving free help.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. And, you know, that's a big model that I take is, you know, just giving away as much as you can. And people are going to be interested in what you have to say, and they're going to want to learn more. And I think you're very smart of capturing those emails right away. Now, I want to go back to time really quick, because that's a big thing for everyone. I know a lot of people struggle with trying to find time to do stuff. And you had a five-month-old, and you were writing a book dedicating 3 hours a day, which, I mean, I feel like I need that much time in order to make any headway in my book writing process as well. How did you keep going? I mean, a lot of people would just said, oh, well, I'm going to wait till my kid's older to do this. I mean, what motivated you and what actually got you through your book?
Well, my son's father and my partner at the time had quit his job, so I didn't have a choice. I felt like if I didn't write this and start to create some kind of income for our family, we weren't going to have any. So there was a lot of real pressure, you know. We luckily had a friend's place we could stay at for free for 6 months too. So that was having a deadline is so important, but that was a very real deadline.
Yeah.
I had also already read The 4-Hour Workweek and had already begun listening to your podcast. I think January 2011, you were on like number 10. And so I listened from the beginning and just started to get ideas about what's the best way to do this. I did a lot of planning for my website ahead of time and for my marketing plan ahead of time. When I was stumped on the writing process, I would just draw on my mirrored closet with a dry erase marker and just draw stuff out and did a lot of mind mapping. But I used the 4-Hour Workweek to really stay focused and to get, honestly, emails was my biggest thing. All these things would distract me, but the biggest thing was emails. And so I would really discipline myself, and I had to do it for my family. So I didn't have a choice. Had I had another job instead of a kid, it probably would be the same thing. I mean, I saw it as having two full-time jobs all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Now, when it comes to marketing your site, you said that at first you were going to these different groups and you were sharing information for free and you were getting people to come back. Has that been the only way that you've been sort of driving traffic back to your site, or is there anything else?
Well, I did a lot of, I actually figured out, and this is a good thing for everybody who has a niche site to do, if you're actually a subject matter expert and that's the angle you're going at, find out which organization or organizations is the authority in the field. There's one called diaperfreebaby.org in my field, and I got them to endorse my book. So I had them read drafts of it, give me feedback. They certified me as a mentor in their program. So I really position myself as an expert. And marketing-wise, they put me on the homepage of their site. And they rank number one in Google for the terms I go for.
Nice.
That was really important for marketing. It's just, again, word of mouth, parenting field. It's kind of hard to enter it. It's really, there's you have to have trust, built-in trust. So I went for that angle. I did a lot of homegrown networking, finding out who is in related fields. And I signed them up as affiliates for my book. Mm. And then I also referred people to that. I found clothing companies that served my niche. So I found a lot of people to team up with, kind of like what you do. And I also, well, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all of that, I've just been using those to try to be part of the community. But honestly, that's a challenge for me because I get stuck in it. It's very time consuming. So what I did early on is I hired a VA, like I mentioned, and this was when I didn't really have enough money to have a VA yet, a virtual assistant, but I did it anyway because I knew if she could do the customer service stuff, I could focus on marketing. And I started to expand out to commenting on blogs. So she finds me blog posts to comment on. Mm-hmm. She finds me forum posts to comment on. I usually audio record an answer, upload it to Evernote. She has it. She transcribes my little messages. And so I'm able to be more places because I have my VA.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so find these these blog posts. She finds them to potentially comment on. And then you actually look at them and leave a comment, but you don't write it in. You just quickly, you know, say it in your Evernote. And then she like takes that, transcribes it and posts it for you.
Exactly. And I actually use QuickTime Player, has a very simple recording thing. I can drag and drop it on my Mac right into Evernote. underneath each link that she puts. She does like 5 a week of each. And she only picks the ones that are, I mean, we go through it and we revise it all the time. So she finds out, where is my niche already? The new parents, the pregnant people, where are they hanging out? And what's the easiest way? You know, where can we get a signature line in a forum post? And we're allowed to put our link in our signature line. Mm-hmm. Or get a business account for them, or which blogs are follow, all that stuff. So we did a lot of, and we're constantly tweaking it and trying to find. I actually have done a few giveaways on very popular parenting sites because I've been an active commenter on their site. And this is something you recommend to do. I did it, and people want to help you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember there's a guy named Oni who commented on my blog quite a bit back in the day. And just I got to know him through the comments that he left. And they were really high-end comments on almost every single post. And I would almost expect him to comment. And, you know, I welcomed it because they were really good comments. And so what that did was, when he actually came to me to write a guest post, I was, you know, I already knew who he was. We sort of had this relationship already, again, just through the blog comments. And, you know, I let them guest post on the site, which I don't normally do. So, you know, I think that's really strong. I love the way that you're utilizing your time even more by having your VA sort of just doing the actual commenting, but using your words based off of sort of a voice, you know, recording. I think that's really smart. And I mean, that you just think about how useful those links can potentially be, and how more so those relationships that you create through those blog comments can potentially be. I mean, that's just really smart, and you're targeting more as a result of doing that in the way that you're doing it. So that's really cool. I don't know where you learned that from. That definitely wasn't for me.
It was on something that a guy named Pete Williams had up for some free webinar. I try not to do too much training and not get too sucked into how to internet market. Mm-hmm. But he had a really good tip somewhere on one of his sites, and that's where I stole it from him. But I do have to say also, YouTube has been a really big driver of traffic as well. I put out a couple of how-to videos that were better than any of the other ones out there. Mm-hmm. And I put my link in it like you do on yours as well. And people come there and they're even more qualified. So I'm trying to get not just traffic, but really qualified traffic. So the blog commenting, the forum commenting, the YouTube channel, all of my affiliates, all of the networking that I've done, and just really starting from a grassroots place. But I also had a plan. And I think that I try to do the things that make cash so that I can keep going as a first priority, and really watch my time. So if I get those things done, then I can go out there and sort of spread the word more. So I do sales. I market to my newsletter list. It's invaluable. I do things sort of, I'm developing formulas for things, because after you do it for so long, you start to understand what works and what doesn't. And as long as I just don't screw around and waste my time, which I can't because I have kids, mm-hmm. It seems to be that I'm learning. And I'm learning my way in my unique niche. So it's really important to not just copy everybody else for me. I sort of take the lead from people like you and then modify it to work for who I'm working with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how I work. So it's working.
I mean, that's the same approach I took. I saw who were doing things successfully when I first started, and I sort of took their lead but put my own spin on it. So that's really, really awesome. I mean, you are everywhere, and everywhere you need to be. You know, you're on YouTube, and that makes total sense for your particular niche. You are on these sort of bigger brand sites who are ranking on number one, which you wouldn't be able to do on your own. So instead of putting your own site there, why don't you put yourself on those sites? I mean, I think that's genius. And not every niche is going to allow you to do that, of course, but that might be a good opportunity for some people out there who have niche sites to sort of get to number one. It's just not your site, but it's someone else's site who is linking to you. And I think that's really cool. You said that, you know, in regards to that, you teamed up with a lot of these bigger companies. How did you get in contact with them? Was it through email, or did you call them or meet them in person at conferences? Like, how did that work?
Well, I actually emailed, they're not huge companies. They're really mom and pop. Everything's work at home moms, WAHM, it's the acronym. Mm-hmm. Everybody, on the first page of Google for my site, besides Wikipedia, which actually I got on it anyway by contributing to Wikipedia, to the articles. So my link is there anyway. My goal was to get a link from all the people on the first couple pages of Google for my search term. So what I would do, and well, actually I had my VA look through their site, see if there's a contact form, see if there's anything they need, any gaps in information. Maybe they need an article written, something like that. But most of the time we just emailed them. And she gathered the email addresses for me and the best way to contact and what their names are and a little bit of information of what I might need to know. And then I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. I'm trying to extend the reach of EC. Everybody benefits from that, you know. So I have this new book. Would you like a free copy? Would you like to review it? Would you mind linking to me as a resource for your readers? And I got a lot of testimonials this way. I got a lot of good reviews. And then I got lots of valuable links, which is the most important thing. The people on the first page are linking to me. So it helped rankings for sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, when it comes to your specific audience, how important is the relationship you have with them for your business?
It's essential. I have a private forum that I post on once a week and I answer people's questions. The reason I did this is so I didn't have to do email support at all. Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever answered is on this forum, but people also, my reputation extends through all of them to all of the other people. So in my niche, it's the most important thing is how people are treated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very common for a lot of niches out there. And so, you know, if you're potentially thinking about getting into the parenting niche, which I know is a very popular sort of expansive niche that where anybody can sort of choose any sort of segment of that. I think it's, like you said, really important to just understand that, you know, if you're going to be talking about stuff related to parents or kids or, you know, parenthood and things like that, you need that relationship. I mean, people aren't just going to read anybody and they're not going to buy from anybody. So it's just hard to come, you know, it's hard to come at this without taking the approach of, you know, knowing that you're going to have to do what you can to actually build a real relationship with the people in your audience. And that, it just sounds like because of that, you know, you have your sort of true 1,000 fans who would be upset if you weren't there anymore. I mean, that's kind of how you want to approach it. You want to build a resource where you can, you know, if you weren't there anymore, people would be upset.
Yeah. And I think with the EC niche specifically, the one that I serve is so, for instance, there's only 4 other books written on the topic. If you were to just take information from those books and then make a niche site out of that, you would royally fail because all of that is already outdated. Like everything that I'm doing is so cutting edge with my forum. I'm learning from them every day and publishing new stuff all the time. If you enter and then screw up a bunch of kids, you're right out of there. I mean, you're going to be booted first thing and you're going to get this horrible reputation. It's really important to know what you're talking about, but also to be actively researching because parenting is a dynamic field and all the little niches in it are very, it's like a moving target. So if you're not authentically genuine and this isn't your original idea, you're probably not going to be as successful as if you really have a passion for something and knowledge about it.
Right. And that's something you obviously had when you first started.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who is thinking about getting into any niche really, and they don't necessarily feel like they're, you know, that much of an expert? Maybe they've found it through keyword research, or maybe it's something that they're interested in, but there are other people out there doing it much better than them. What would you say to them? Should they even attempt to do it, or should they find something else?
They should definitely try it. I think, you know, if I could do it with a 5-month-old, anybody listening can do it no matter what their situation is. It just depends on, you know, what are you interested in? What do you already have some experience in? And then what I did with my book first, I didn't know everything and I didn't have personal experience except for my own baby. I wrote it like that. I said that right in the beginning of the book and on my sales page. I am not an expert at this, but I have gathered all the best information from everywhere and from all the listservs and everything. What's working right now? And this is the best that's out there yet. So I made the best resource without having to be an expert yet. And then over the couple of years of helping people personally, I started to be able to develop my own ideas about it and what things to recommend against and for. So I became the expert. So I think if anybody who's listening is interested and can gather information and present it well, and then is interested in continuing to learn about it and improving their products, then they can be just one step ahead of their audience and really be beneficial to others.
Awesome. Awesome. That's fantastic advice. Now, Andrew, something that I've been thinking about after we've been talking for a little bit is, you know, as a parent myself, when we first talked over email about what you do, I was like, really? Like, this can happen? Like, what you teach people? Like, I just almost sort of didn't believe it. And I'm sure a lot of other parents out there and people who are in your target audience might feel the same way. How do you, and what do you do to almost convince people that, you know, this is real and that also they can do it too?
That's a really good question. I actually had to be on the radio. I got invited to be on radio shows. I was nervous. One of them at 6 a.m. and I'm pregnant with my second kid, so I'm not a morning person right now. I had to prepare for a 3-minute spot on explaining, and I had to convince the hosts in 3 minutes about EC. And what I don't do is, and if anybody who has an odd niche, is I don't focus on what's weird about it or how everybody might think it's weird, because that's a given. Mm-hmm. But what I do is just say, you know, let's put this into context. Over half the world's children are potty trained by 1-year-old. In the United States, it's 3 years. There is a different way to do this. If you're interested, no matter what lifestyle you have, you can, you know, go to my website and check it out and learn. And then if you want to try it, I've got the best resource there is on trying it. And then after you try it, you'll probably love it. It's not for everybody, but that's sort of the naysayers. I don't care if they come and go to my site. They actually don't really come to my site. The people who really want to learn about it and try it out do. So I am not in the business of converting people. I'm in the business of, hey, this other option exists. And if you hate changing diapers, 0 to 3 years plus, I have a resource, either mine or my friend's book I sell on my site now. And it's really cool because it just sort of leaves it open. Like, I look at the problem. People hate changing diapers. They hate it. I mean, I don't know anybody who loves it. If they say they do, they're lying. Maybe it's because it's convenient, but you really don't like it if you're paying attention. And I've started to reorient to that. I don't need to tell you that this is the best thing in the world. You just gauge how much you like changing diapers. And if you don't like it very much, then you might want to look into this. And then I say, go to godiaperfree.com and you can learn. And it's not like I grew up in Texas. It was very Bible Belt. Lots of evangelists. Mm-hmm. I can't be an evangelist in my field. It turns people off. So
wow.
That's what I say.
I mean, that right there is fantastic advice. I mean, everything you said from, you know, not trying to convince people, but just making comparisons of stuff that they may already be doing and asking them, hey, well, if you're interested or if this is something you want to try, not you should do this or you are bad for doing, you know, for doing diapers. This is just, hey, this is the other option. It's not for everybody. And I love how you said that, because a problem that too many people try to do with their websites is they try to convince everybody. And that's not what it should be about. It should be, helping the people who are just in tune with everything you have to say or excited about it or want to at least give it a shot, not trying to convince everybody in the single world. That's just fantastic. You know, I love how you were sort of almost forced to figure that out because you had a 3-minute spot on a radio show.
I did. And in fact, it's going to be part of my first podcast. I'm launching a podcast within the next few weeks. I've got the first 5 of them ready.
Awesome.
And I followed your stuff. Again, I mean, I'm not here to just, you know, toot your horn.
Yeah,
but
that's why I have you on, just to
that's awesome. Well, you are, and you really, you make
well,
it very
you.
Easy. If you want to know the information, it's the same thing I just described, but I learned how to do the podcast through your video series. And my first one, I'm putting in that 3-minute spot because it's the thing that gets people, okay, do I really want to listen to this podcast or not? And really, when I bring in the rest of the world and I just ask a couple questions that get people thinking, then they're like, wait a second. Oh yeah, this isn't how life has always been for hundreds of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So it's like using these benign statistics can really help, and probably a lot of niches, just to put it in perspective. It's this roundabout way, because you don't want to force people, that people won't stick around.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I feel like a good challenge for all the listeners out there right now is to sort of figure out, well, what is your 3-minute spot sound like? Like, imagine you're called on the radio to talk about whatever it is your website's about. What does that 3 minutes sound like? And it's got to be really good stuff. And exactly, you know, if you can hone in on that, that'll sort of drive every other message that you say on your website or any sort of marketing material that you might have in the future, from ads to just in-person conversations.
Yeah. And it can change over time, and it should. It can just get better and better and better.
I love that. Now, finishing up here, Andrea, just thank you so much for your time. This is very inspirational. I love hearing stuff like this. What are maybe one or two other pieces of advice you have for people out there who are just starting out and they're struggling and they might not have enough time, or they might not feel like they have enough time, or they might feel like they're just not being heard very much? What would you say to them?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I've been there. Just keep trying to create the best thing that you can in the ways that you're best. So I like to draw things on giant pieces of paper. And when I get to a sticking point, I just go to that, go to whatever gets your juices flowing, and keep going back there. And then eventually something will come forth that'd be like, okay, this is what I need to focus on. But what I would say is just schedule time either every day or every week, that is your time to work on this particular project. And if you don't have any small doable to-do lists, steps, very specific steps that you can follow yet, then just brainstorm, mind map, be creative, make, just sketch things out, and really just stay with it in whatever way it comes out. And eventually you will start seeing the steps, and then write them down and make them doable, and just start whittling away. And I think the most important point of that whole thing is making that time, carving away that time, get somebody to watch your kids if you have them, turn off the internet, the email, the cell phone, everything, get an actual pencil and a piece of paper, and devote that time to your project. Let it be whatever it is, but don't ever stop meeting with yourself on it. You know, just keep going, and eventually something will come out of it, and it won't look like anybody else's. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, Andrea, thank you so much for your time and the inspiration. And, you know, I know I speak for everyone else listening. You know, we wish you all the best. And, you know, you're making, you know, you're doing incredible already. And I can just only imagine things getting much better from this point forward. Just to remind people once again, where can they find your business? And where can they sort of get in contact with you if they wanted to?
You can find me at godiaperfree.com. I'm also at AndreaOlson.com, OLSON, and that shows my overall projects and everything else I might be up to if you want to sort of stalk me and find out. But GoDiaperFree.com, I'm at Andrea@GoDiaperFree.com. I'm happy to answer any questions based on my experience, happy to help people. I just want everybody to be successful in what they love.
Awesome. You are awesome. Thank you, Andrea, so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, thanks. All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Andrea Olson from GoDiaperFree.com. Definitely a really unique niche to get into, of course, and I think she's doing such amazing work, really connecting with parents and really changing their lives, which is really what we should all be trying to do with our target audience. And she's definitely solving a particular pain that the parenting niche has. So well done, Andrea. I mean, just congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Again, you can find her at godiaperfree.com. Now, before I get into that special announcement that I talked about at the beginning of the episode, I just wanted to bring on a voicemail that, you know, we missed a voicemail in the last episode because the episode went so long, but I want to bring one back. And so I'm going to answer a question really quick. This week's question is from Jay Hiller, and you'll actually hear that he has a little bit in common with me, which is pretty interesting. He's asking about interviews and how to conduct interviews that sound good. So let's get to Jay's question.
Hi, Pat. My name is Jay Hiller. I've been following you for some time. Great job with your podcast and your website. I've got a little bit in common with you. I studied architecture at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And I was also laid off a position, not from architecture, a couple years ago. So I'm into the personal development field. I have a website called confidencemindset.com. I'm into developing a strong mindset and developing confidence in people, mainly our youth. I'm interested in doing interviews, and my question for you is, what do you find that works best in producing interviews? The equipment, is it a phone call, the recording devices, that kind of thing? Your quality is great on your interviews with people and your podcasts. So if you could give us some tips on what you use and what works for you, that would be great. And I will continue to follow. Thanks so much. Great hearing from you. Great job on your podcast, and look forward to more. Hope you and your family have an awesome day. I'll check back with you later. Bye for now.
Hey, thanks so much for the question, Jay. And I think it's just really important to talk to everyone really quick about the importance and how awesome it is to do interviews. Not only is it a great way to just get additional content for your site and your brand, content that you wouldn't normally be able to do yourself, but it's a great way to connect with other people too. I've really became friends with a lot of people that I've interviewed as well. And you know, for everybody out there, I would encourage you to do more interviews. And of course, when you think about it, you're not actually creating content, but you do have to ask the right questions. Now, Jay, when it comes to the actual equipment that I use, the interviews that I conduct here on the Smart Passive Income blog are typically done over Skype. So we're using Skype to communicate. I have Skype, and the person I'm interviewing typically will have Skype, and that helps with the audio quality quite a bit. And in order to record that, I use a tool called Call Recorder for Mac. If you're on a PC, there's one, I believe, that is called Pamela for Skype. But I'll put the show notes, or I'll put the links in the show notes, so you can go to smartpassiveincome.com/session72 and see links to all these things and all the other links mentioned on this show. But if you're not using Skype, well, first of all, if you're using Skype, it's very common that the other person may not have Skype. So what I do is actually call that person on Skype so that I can make sure that I, at least during the interview, I sound good, because that will help it go a long way. People who are listening to interviews sort of understand that, you know, a lot of times the person on the other end isn't going to have the best quality. So at least if you have good quality, you know, you're using your good mic, you're on your computer, and you're on Skype, that will work. And if the other person sounds like they're on a phone, well, that's okay, because it's an interview and, you know, it's going back and forth. So you can still record using Call Recorder for Mac or that other tool. If you dial in, you can actually dial like a landline or a cell phone number from your Skype, which is what I do when the other person is not using Skype. Now, if I'm doing an interview in person, there's some really cool digital recorders that you can use, some high-end audio recorders, digital audio recorders. I know my buddy Cliff Ravenscraft recommends one called the Roland R-05 digital audio recorder. If you go to podcastanswerman.com/R05, you'll see how he uses that. I use one called the Zoom H4N, and it's another digital audio recorder. And what's nice about that is it records really, really great audio. You know, you can use it just like a mic and sort of point it at the person's, you know, toward the person's voice when they're speaking, you know, going back and forth between you and the other person. Or you can actually input external microphones, you know, lapel mics or handheld mics into those different audio recorders that I just mentioned, and the audio quality will be great as well. And then you just, you know, save it onto a little flash disk there, which you pop into those audio recorders, and you pop it into your computer, and it's an MP3 file, and it sounds awesome, or a WAV file, or however you have it in the settings. So those are the tools that I use or would recommend using. Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's very useful for everybody. So thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. And for everybody else out there, again, if you have a question for me, please, you know, a voicemail question, you can actually go to speakpipe.com/Pat Flynn and leave me your voicemail there. I'm going to be doing this after every episode, of course, mostly. And I'm also going to be doing episodes that are completely dedicated to answering your questions via voicemail, or the questions that come in by voicemail. It's going to be really cool. I think potentially the next episode will be that, but we'll see. And lastly, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have that really special announcement, and that announcement is the following. I'm really happy to talk about my first product for smartpassiveincome.com. I know a lot of people for a few years now have been just asking me, like, Pat, when's your first product coming out? When are you finally going to come out with something? And, you know, I didn't want to force one out there just because I could and just because I knew it would sell. I didn't want to do that to my audience. I didn't want to take advantage of them just because I knew I could earn money, you know, because that trust is worth so much more to me. The thing is, I've always had this idea for a product in the back of my mind. And after talking about it with a few members of my mastermind groups, they were like, Pat, if you don't do this, you're doing your audience a disfavor. And that really changed my focus and drove me to really actually do this. Now, you know, there are a lot of courses out there that talk about how to start a business and how to start a blog already. And many of them are fantastic. I mean, I've recommended them to my audience before because I've gone through them myself and I trust the owners and I'm not afraid to put my name next to them. But, you know, when I was actually thinking about the true pains and struggles of people starting a blog, stuff that I went through, stuff that I know people in my audience are going through, I discovered that, you know, starting isn't the issue. It's actually keeping a blog alive and thriving and growing. So that's why I started to spend time a few months ago to really put this course together. And I'm calling it Breakthrough Blogging. And I call it that because of the way it's structured. It's video lessons that tackle all the different kinds of barriers that all bloggers and business owners will come across and must break through during their journey in order to make any progress at all. You know, from mental barriers like how to deal with being overwhelmed and how to keep going when the results just aren't there yet, to time and productivity barriers like how to get more time when you don't seem like you have any and how to stay focused on one thing at a time. Then there are, of course, technological barriers that we all face and barriers that other people put on us that try to stop us from moving forward. Knowledge barriers, what you know versus what you don't. Growth barriers, like when you're not getting much traffic or email subscribers. Just everything that bloggers will face during the journey, because I've gone through them too, and luckily I've kept going. But I know a lot of people stop, and it's unfortunate because it's often right before something awesome happens. You know, it seems like just everything in the world is working against us to succeed, and Breakthrough Blogging is trying to help you break through that that stigma. Now, the launch of Breakthrough Blogging will actually be Monday, July 1st, and it'll be a part of the next three-day Only 72 sale. That's a company. That's why it's called Only 72. It's 3 days, so 72 hours. So what that means is starting July 1st, Breakthrough Blogging will actually be one of the several, actually five or six different courses and products you can get in this next Only 72 bundle, which is actually built around the theme of Be Everywhere. What Only 72 does is it handpicks products and courses from experts and bundles them together for a really discounted price. And I chose to include Breakthrough Blogging in the sale because I wanted those who picked it up to get some incredible value for their purchase. So not only my course, but a lot of other expert courses as well, but also because I'm actually a partner at Only 72. I don't know if you knew that, but I partnered with my buddy Adam Baker and Rick Moretti to create something awesome here. And, you know, Only 72 has been around for a while, so this is the first time I've been a part of this sale, and I really wanted to change things up and make things awesome. Now, to check out the next sale, you can go to breakthroughblogging.net. So go to breakthroughblogging.net. That'll redirect you to the sale. And the best part of Breakthrough Blogging is that it's something that's going to be forever growing. You know, there are a certain number of videos in there now, but I'm going to add more, like a lot more. I'm setting up a studio where I'm going to be shooting video like crazy, and I'm just going to be answering people's questions and talking about your struggles. You're going to be influencing where this particular course goes, and it's going to be forever growing, and it's just going to be a great community of people that, so you know you're not alone in this. You know, we're all going to help you during the journey. So yeah, check out the trailer video at breakthroughblogging.net. I'm actually in it. Breakthroughblogging.net redirects you to the Only 72 sale currently, and you'll see that trailer there. I'm in it. A lot of you know I went up to Portland for like a day. Like I went up, flew up, came back down the same day. That's what it was for, to shoot that trailer. And yeah, I'm really proud of this. So sign up to the email list there to get notified of the sale this coming Monday. Again, breakthroughblogging.net. What happens is after 72 hours, the sale will be over. Enrollment into Breakthrough Blogging will be closed. If you're at all interested, make sure you sign up to get the discounted price now, along with the other products in the bundle, because those of you who are in will be grandfathered in when it reopens later this year. And that won't include those other products. And, you know, if you're grandfathered in, you won't have to worry about what the payment structure will be like, which I don't even know yet. So yeah, if you're listening to this in the future, you can still go to breakthroughblogging.net and that will redirect you to wherever you need to go. So guys, thank you so much for letting me talk about this with you. You know, I'm really proud of it. Some of you might be surprised because, you know, I don't, you know, generally you don't hear me pitch anything. But the thing is, and this is something I've learned from watching other people who have had an impact on my life. And this is where people seem to miss a step sometimes. You know, you don't want to be pitching all the time. You don't want to be pitching everything under the sun. But when you know you have something that will help people, you know, you better make sure you tell people about it. And so for those of you out there, I know you have stuff. Maybe you don't have a product yet, but I know there's one in you. And when you make it happen, you got to really make sure you tell people about it. And there are, of course, good ways to tell people about it and not so good ways. And hopefully, based on my experience in this industry in the past, I've shared it with you in a good way. Now, you can get the show notes again at smartpassiveincome.com/session72. And, you know, ask any questions about that. And definitely make sure to give Andrea a big shout out because she's just provided so much great information. Yeah, just thank you. And, you know, it's kind of cool that this is session number 72 and Breakthrough Blogging is going to be part of the only 72 sale. Kind of crazy, right? Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And I appreciate you so much. Gosh, I just wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value pack solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.